Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel 16. In verse 6, the Word of God says, "So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and he said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.'" Now, let me give you a little background because on its own this doesn't make sense. God was looking for a king for Israel. Israel already had a king, and God was not happy with that king because the king was not obedient to God. And so God chose a new king for Israel. And he told the prophet Samuel to go and anoint a specific person to be king. Anoint simply means that you recognize them as king, and Samuel had the authority to do that. There was a tradition, and we still use it, where he would pour oil on that person's head. Today, we don't pour oil on people's heads, but for healing, there is still the tradition of anointing, using oil, and you just put it a little bit on their forehead. It's really a way of identifying somebody. And so, Samuel was sent by God to find the next king of Israel. And Samuel went to Jesse, because that's where God directed him, and he wanted to meet Jesse's sons. And Eliab was the first of those sons, and he was this strapping, handsome, big, strong guy. The current king was also strapping, handsome, big, strong guy, and turned into a total loser. Ladies, you're young for this yet, but I'm going to give you some life advice that is extremely valuable and very true. When it's time for you to start thinking about marriage, do not look to see who is a strapping, handsome, young, strong guy. That may be God's choice, that may not be God's choice. You want God's choice. Because very often, strapping, handsome, young, strong guy is a total loser. Too many strapping, handsome, young, strong jerks out there. Not everybody that is like that is a loser or a jerk, but plenty of them are. Ask a lot of women who've been in relationships with them, and they will tell you, "That was the mistake of my life." Don't look for the strapping, handsome, young, strong guy. Look for the man of God. Because it will be of the men of God that God will eventually select a husband for you. Let God do the choosing. Because God knows who is who. We look at the way people look. We look at how they seem. Bad mistake. You want to make mistakes, you go by appearances. "Oh, this one is so good looking." I have a friend who posted a picture, and I don't usually bring this into messages, but I think this one is worthwhile. It was of this cute guy. And the picture said he doesn't have a job, he doesn't have a car, he doesn't pay child support, he doesn't have an education, but you want to date him anyway because he's cute. You must be a special kind of stupid. That's exactly what it is. It's a special kind of stupid. That's what it's about, guys. You don't go by appearances. Samuel was inadvertently, he didn't realize he was doing this, but he was going by appearances, but not for somebody like a spouse. He was going for a king. And here's this strapping, handsome, young, strong guy. And God says, "He ain't it. This is not the person I have chosen, Samuel." And Samuel looks at him and he says, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." The Lord's anointed was nowhere near before him with this strapping, handsome, young, strong guy. The last strapping, handsome, young, strong guy didn't obey God. God rejected him utterly. As a matter of fact, God rejected him so much that the man died early. How unhappy God was with this guy. And so, you don't want that. And God is saying to him, Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature. Don't look at what he looks like. Don't look to see if he's big and strong or handsome or anything like that. Don't look at his physical appearance, because I have refused him. God says, you may be impressed with him the way he looks. I'm not impressed with him at all. That's scary when God says that. If God's not impressed, that's bad news. Don't be impressed by these things, God says. I'm not impressed by them. God refused them, for the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. That's what we are concerned with. God looks at the heart. In your own life, there may be times when you feel like you're not all that. I'm not special. I'm not perhaps particularly gifted in one area or another. I'm not a great athlete, or I'm not a great artist, or I'm not a great scientist, or something like that. I'm not a great musician. I'm not all these things. Sometimes we say that to ourselves. I'm not this great. And God says, don't look at that. That's the outward appearance. Don't look at it in somebody else. Don't look at it in yourself. Don't look at what things seem like outwardly. God is looking at the heart. You know who God chose? God chose a short guy. David was a short guy. But David had something that the big guys didn't. David had a heart after God. And that's what really interested God. That's why God was so delighted with David. David made a boatload of mistakes. He made far more mistakes than the average person. But David had a heart after God that even in his mistakes, he was not going to turn his back on God. He would always look for God in his life. You always do the same thing. God is not interested in your perfection. God is not interested in your amazing ability. God is not interested in your amazing smarts. God is interested in your heart. What is your heart like before Him? Do you have a heart that loves God? Do you have a heart after Him? Do you have a heart that desires God in your life? That's what God is interested in. That's what makes things happen. Yes, some people are smart and they can get somewhere because they're smart. Yes, some people are athletic and they can get somewhere because they're athletic. Those things are fine in their place, but what God is interested in other words, what will get you somewhere with God, is if you have a heart after Him. Do you have a heart after God? That's not something you can tell by the outward appearance. You may think you're young, and you are young. And you may think, well, I can't because I'm young. Don't ever think that. You may think, I don't have a valuable portion. I don't have something valuable to contribute because I'm young. Bad mistake. Paul said to Timothy, and Timothy was 18 years old. Now, for you guys who are very young, 18 years old, well, that's a big person. 18 years old, you're going to find out they ain't nothing. 18 years old is still quite young. I remember when I was 18, I thought, wow, I finally reached adulthood. Then I was 30, and I thought, man, I was only 18. Now that I'm the age that I am, 31, I'm like, geez, gee whiz, 18 is a child. 18 hasn't even gotten started. It says, in 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul, the older, wiser pastor, teacher, and apostle, telling his young student that he has been investing in, and the guy was only 18, he said, let no one despise your youth. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Don't think less of yourself because you're young. Don't lose confidence just because you're young. Don't think you're unable just because you're young. Don't think God cannot use you just because you're young. And then he continues, and get this, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You're young, but be an example to all believers, young and old. It doesn't matter that you're young. Be an example to all believers, young and old. Be an example in the way you conduct yourselves, in the way that you behave, in the way you act. Be an example in the Word of God, in your ability, in your command of the Word of God. Be an example in the way that you love, with God's love. Not an emotional love, in God's love. Be an example in your relationship to the Holy Spirit. Be an example in the fact that you know how to live in faith. Be an example in the fact that you keep your body pure. You don't let anybody touch it. Be an example in these things, young or old. I don't care who you are. You can be 7 years old, and you can be an example to other believers. You're never too young to be a man or a woman of God. You're never too young. The Word of God says that God has chosen the foolish things in 1 Corinthians 1:27. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. In other words, there are those people in the world that nobody thinks much of. It's just Henry. It's just Susie. It's just you. It's just me. That's the way the world thinks. God chooses those kind of people. Do you know why? They're not in His way. They're not so full of themselves that they will be in God's way. They're not so full of themselves that they won't let God have His way in their life. They're not so full of themselves that they're more interested in themselves than they are in God. And so God will choose very frequently the things that look foolish in the world. And He'll put to shame the things that are wise. Somebody thinks they're all that in a bag of chips. God's going to choose the one who doesn't. And the one who doesn't think they're all that in a bag of chips is going to show up, the one who does. Why? God chose him for that. Now, the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 1:26, you see your calling that not many wise according to the flesh, not many noble, not many mighty are called. Wise according to the flesh is wise in their own ability. If you have a certain ability and you think that makes you wise, God is not interested. If you think that your natural ability to be smart makes you wise, God's not interested. If you think your natural ability in sports makes you wise, God is not interested. What makes you wise is your heart after God. That's what God's interested in. In 1 Samuel 9:20, it says, whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and all your father's house? And Saul answered him and said, am I not a Benjaminite? In other words, this is the first time God was picking an Israel king. And He says, all of Israel's desire is on you. And he said, who am I? I'm the least little guy of the least little tribe in a little country. He said, am I not a Benjaminite, the smallest of all the tribes of Israel, and my family, the least of all the families in the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak to me like this? God chose a king out of the smallest tribe, the least important tribe, out of the least important family of the tribe. But you know what? God also says that very frequently, those that are last will be first, and the first will be last. You ever meet somebody at school and they've got to be first? First in everything. First in line, first with everything. First to be picked for the game, first in everything. They've got to be first. Or in their own thinking, they're the best, they're the smartest, they're the biggest, they're the strongest, they're the fastest. You know people like that? I guarantee you know people like that. God said many of the first will be last. And many of the last will be first. Don't worry about your personal position, your personal ability. Don't worry about any of the outer things in your life. God doesn't choose according to those things. God chooses according to the heart. God is not interested in what you can do. God is interested in, do you have a heart after Him? And the reason why God's not interested in what you can do is because God has to do it all anyway. As a human being, we are not capable of doing the things that God does. I don't care how smart or strong or fast the human being is. None of those things can suffice, can be enough to do what God does for us and through us. That's why He wants people who have a heart after Him. Because if you have a heart after God, God can use you in ways that you can never imagine. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20 that God will go above and beyond anything you can ask or think. And we say to ourselves, well, I can ask or think a lot. But Isaiah 55:8 says, God's thoughts are way above our thoughts. Whatever I can ask or think, it doesn't even begin to touch what God can. Whatever I can do naturally, it doesn't even begin to touch what God can do. Whatever I think I know, it doesn't even begin to touch what God knows. What God wants is a heart that's after Him. What God wants is a heart that is willing. God, whatever you want, I'm willing. What God wants is a heart that is available. God, if you want to do it, you can use me for it. If you don't, that's fine. It's your decision. Whatever you want, that's fine with me, God. I want to be a part of it. That's a willing heart. That's what God is interested in. The reason why God couldn't use the big strapping guy is the big strapping guy would depend on his natural ability and not depend on God. And God says our natural ability is nothing for His call. God has to carry it out no matter how good or strong or weak or not strong. Or bad or whatever. It doesn't matter. God is the one who's going to perform it in your life. God is the one who's going to take you there. God is the one who's going to do whatever it is that He's called you to do if you are willing. That requires a heart after God. David was so loved by God that he's going to be the prince in the millennial reign. When Jesus returns to earth and he's the king on earth, you know who's second in command? David. Not because he was smart, not because he was strong, not because of his ability, but because he had a heart after God. And because he had a heart after God, God could do what he chose, not only with David, but with all of Israel. Because David was willing. In your life, have a heart after God above anything else. When I got saved, this was my prayer. I strongly recommend that this be your prayer. God, whatever you do, regardless of whatever I say, keep me in your perfect will. Keep me in your perfect will. Even if I don't like it, keep me in your perfect will. And God will be very faithful to do that. When you are willing, you are available. When you are available, God will use you in ways you could not even imagine. It always works like that. You understand? Okay, that's it for today.